Well, amen. What a powerful message and song tonight. And so praise the Lord for that. If you have your Bibles with you, and I hope you have them there at your house, Luke in chapter 22. Look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 22. On Wednesday nights, we've been going through and studying on the life of the Apostle Peter, the life of the Apostle Peter. At this particular time in Peter's life, he is being discipled by the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his discipling, he is being taught through experiences that Christ hath designed for him. And we find he is designed for many of those experiences have been designed for all 12 of the apostles. But especially we're looking in through Peter's life and through what he had experienced. The Bible has much to say about Peter and how he would respond to a lot of the different things that Jesus would expose him to. Last week, for example, we find that he had Peter go down, catch a fish, and there inside the mouth of the fish, find enough money to pay their taxes. And I trust that was a blessing last week as we studied that and just to understand what Peter was to learn from that experience in his life. Well, if we look here in Luke in chapter 22, we're going to be reading verse 7 down to verse 13. Verse 7 down to verse 13, because this is Peter being instructed by the Lord to go and prepare a place for them to have the Passover meal. And so let's read here, Luke 22, verse 7. The Bible says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover." Let's ask for God's blessings on the preaching of the Word of God. Father, we bow before you again. We thank you that you have preserved your Word for us today. And as we study it and hear it preached, we know that it's much more than just a book. It's the words of an almighty Creator God. And I pray tonight, God, that you would help each and every one that's listening to this message to put everything else out of their minds right now and focus on what you have for each one. And then I pray, God, that you would use me again to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Make ready the place to eat the Passover meal with all the disciples. And so what he's referring to here would be the 12 that he had personally chosen and that was looking to prepare them to become the apostles after he would ascend into heaven for the apostolic age. And so they were to go there and to make ready for this Old Testament memorial, the Passover. This would be the beginning of the worst night of Peter's life. The beginning of the worst night of Peter's life. It goes from the Passover meal to his denying Jesus Christ three times. Somewhat seems impossible as you would study the life of Peter up to this point and where he has come and the faith that he has shown in Jesus Christ, willing and truly, I believe, would have been willing to die for him. But before, within 24 hours, he would deny the Lord three times. Luke in chapter 22, this would have been early in the day when Jesus would have instructed them. And this in itself would have been something different because they had not been to the city to prepare anything. But Jesus told them what to look for. And when they found the man, what to say to the man. And he would have already been prepared to allow them to go to an upper room that had been furnished with exactly what they would need there to observe the Passover meal. You'll find that in verses 10 down to verse 13. You see, Peter would have done this two times prior because he had been underneath the teachings of Christ for 3 years. And so this particular time would have been the third time for them to observe the Passover, but this would be the last. And as it would be the last, it would be the beginning of something different. As we looked at that, the thought came to mind, and one of the things that I believe that Jesus would have been teaching Peter and having Peter to be aware of as he was preparing him for the work that he would do during the apostolic age. We never know when things will change. Peter had no idea when he was going to this house and making ready for the Passover how things would change in his life. For the rest of the apostles, and even concerning Jesus Christ. Never know when things will change. Wow, what a thought that is for us right now. Who would have thought that we would be having to do what we're doing tonight? Just a couple weeks ago, I had regular services. Everyone had their choice whether they would come. It wasn't restrictions on what if you could even get out and drive and all the different things. There was no fear of the unknown and no fear of a coronavirus. And yet, in just a matter of days, we are where we're at tonight. And things have changed. Especially for right now, things have changed. Peter was being prepared by God for what God had in the future. If you'd look with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, this is one of the books of the Bible that Jesus was preparing Peter to write. Now we know as he wrote this, when he did that, he would be under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God because this is not just Peter's words, but as you look to the Bible and you read the Bible, it's God's word. But Jesus was preparing Peter to write the things that he would write. And in the book of 1 Peter in chapter 4, when Peter would get through that night and he would look back to all that had taken place, he would have learned this. And he would write this in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. He says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." Going through trials. He's saying, don't think that it's strange or no purpose, not being able to understand it, wondering why. As though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice. Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye shall be glad also with exceeding joy. As we go through the trials of life, can I tell you, it's not a strange thing. As we go through the trials of life, Peter would learn that God had a purpose for this in his life. And through what he would go through this night, it would do something for Peter that would enable Peter to be the apostle that God wanted him to be and that would have called him to be. Peter wrote this because he had learned. God is always aware. And God always has a plan. I guarantee you that God was very much aware of a coronavirus. I guarantee you that God was very much aware of how it would impact this city and this state and this nation and how it would impact the world. And the most important thing that believers can do as we go through this is to glorify God. Is to not think that this is something strange, but to realize that God has a purpose and a plan as we go through this. And as we go through this trial, and we go through this time, we are to learn that which God would have us to learn and allow it to impact us and prepare us for not only this trial, but what is to come beyond this trial. You see, what has, what is, and what will happen on earth is not strange to God. All we have to do is look back. In the Old Testament, the prophets prophesied of this day. And in this day, Jesus prophesied of what would take place after this church age that we're now living in. And so, it's not some strange thing. It might be strange to us, but God knows exactly what's taking place. So we find here that Peter did not realize how what was going to take place this night that he was preparing for would change the rest of his life. What happened next? Now, what happened next, as we study the life of Christ, we study the life of the apostles in this time when Christ walked on the earth, we have four different books of the Bible that give us the New Testament understanding, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And those are the Gospels. They give us the life of Christ and what took place during the life of Christ. And we have to study all of them to understand the chronological order of events. Now, they're not all written in the right chronological order of events, but when you study all four of them, then we understand what would have happened next. So I want you to turn to John in chapter 13 with me. John in chapter 13. Because he prepared for the meal, for the Passover meal. And then we find in chapter 13 what happened right after this Passover meal. And the Bible says in chapter 13 and verse 1, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended..." Now, what supper is he talking? He's talking about the Passover supper. He's talking about the observance of the Passover. And supper being ended, the devil then, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So we find that it was after the observance of the Passover, but after that we find that Judas now has made up his mind that he is going to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And Satan has entered his heart. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises up from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Wow. So they have observed the Passover meal, which would be the last time that they would observe the Passover meal. What happened next is Jesus begins to wash the disciples' feet. Another opportunity for learning, another opportunity for them to be discipled by the Lord. Jesus comes to Peter's feet. Peter was not the first one that he washed his feet. In verse 6, then cometh he to Simon Peter. He had already began to wipe the disciples' feet. And so we find here that Peter is now observing Jesus washing the other apostles' feet. How many? It doesn't say. But he would have been washing the disciples' feet when Peter viewed him, first of all. That's important that we understand that. Because a lesson to learn is not an ordinance that was established. Jesus was not establishing the ordinance of feet washing. We find that the Bible, he very clearly reveals that Jesus established two ordinances for his church, and that is the Lord's Supper and then baptism. The only two ordinances that Jesus would establish. This was not done to establish a third ordinance. This was done because of the need of the apostles to learn to serve one another. There was still an issue with the disciples wanting to know who was going to have what position, what authority they would have other than the other apostles. They had not learned this idea of being a servant. Now we know that because if you go back, now this is what happened in chronological order. If you go back in Luke in chapter 22, we find Luke reveals something here that shows us the mentality of the apostles even after observing the Old Testament Passover meal. In Luke in chapter 22 and verse 24, the Bible says in verse 24 concerning them, and there was also strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. While they were observing the Old Testament Passover meal, inside they were still wondering which one of them would be the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Jesus wanted to give them an example of service, of them changing this mentality of who's going to be the greatest, but what can I do for you? How can I encourage you? How can I help you to be all that you can be for the cause of Christ? Instead of looking to what others can do for us, we need to look to see what we can do for others. The apostles had to learn that. And the way that they would learn that was to observe Jesus himself being a servant. It was customary for a servant to wash the guest's feet when entering into a house. They would have servants, and the servants would come and take the sandals off, and the servant would come and he would fill the basin of water. The basin was there for them to put the water in, to take the towel and to wash the feet of the guests that would enter into their homes. That was customary. When the disciples went in, the basin was there. And not one of them volunteered to be the servant to wash the other disciples' feet. So Jesus, after observing the Passover meal, he himself went to the basin He himself took the water, poured it into the basin, and began to wash as a servant, began to wash the disciples' feet. Now, what do you think went through the mind of the disciples? This was the Messiah. You see, the one that we're going to focus on here and the one that the Bible focuses on was Peter and what he thought. Go back over with me to John. We know this to be the mentality that was on the minds of the disciples. Jesus knew that. And so Jesus himself goes to that basin. When he starts to begin washing the feet of the disciples, the Bible says he riseth from supper in verse 4 of chapter 13 of John. He rises from supper and laid aside his garments. He laid aside his royal garments to come to this earth, because Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. He was God manifested in the flesh. He laid aside those garments to come to this earth. And now as here in this upper room and trying to disciple his apostles, he once again lays aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. And after he poured water into the basin, began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. That's what he was doing. Simon Peter is watching him wash the other disciples' feet. I believe that Peter would have had a hard time viewing Christ as a servant. The Messiah was to be powerful. The Messiah was to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How could this, if this be the Messiah, how could he put himself in a lowly position as a servant? That's what's going on in Peter's mind. And Jesus wanted Peter to see him washing other disciples' feet, and then he gets to Simon Peter. And the Bible says, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Peter here is confused, and he's thinking him as being the Messiah. He's thinking of him being the powerful King of Kings, and you're going to wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now. I don't know if that just kind of went over Peter's head, but it's been recorded, and Peter would remember those words later on. But he says, and this is the most important part in this passage of Scripture right here, but thou shalt know hereafter. You don't understand it now, but you're getting ready to go through some things tonight here, Peter. And once you get through these things, you're going to understand more than what you understand right now. But he didn't understand it then, and so Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. I can't look at you, this is Peter in his mind, I can't look at you as being the King of Kings. I can't look at you and being the Messiah. I can't look at you and being Lord of Lords and then see you bow down like a servant and wash my feet. A lot of confusion, a lot of different thoughts, wrong thinking going through Peter's mind, which led to what would happen later on as well. One of the things that hindered Peter was not seeing Jesus as the Messiah. Jesus did say, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Peter knew he didn't want that, and so Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Telling Peter that the blood had already washed him. As he became that sacrificial lamb, the blood that he was going to shed had already washed Peter, and all Peter needed was to have the physical, the fleshly dirt washed off of him. We know that now as we study this. But Peter's perspective, the key to understanding it, what I do, thou knowest not now. How could Peter identify Jesus with as the Messiah with Jesus, a lowly servant? After Peter would go through the greatest trials of his life, he would understand that Jesus had to come as a sacrificial lamb. Because that's the only way that Peter could have his sins washed away. Is that God would humble himself, take on the form of man, live a sinless, perfect life, and go to the cross of Calvary and pay a sin debt that every individual owes and could never pay on their own. He would have to become that sacrificial lamb. Matter of fact, in prophecy, in the book of Zechariah in chapter 9 and verse 9, in prophecy concerning Jesus, the Bible says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." The prophets were prophesying things that they didn't even understand, but as we look back and we understand now, and we see that he was the King of Kings. He's always been King of Kings. He's always been Lord of Lords, and yet he came to become a servant. He came to be lowly, to pay a sacrifice, pay a debt for us all. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus said, "Learn of me." He's teaching Peter and the other apostles who he truly is and why he had to do what he did. But he said, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Peter was not able to understand right then, which will take us into the next lesson and what he would go through that night. And ultimately, before it ended, denying Christ three times before he would understand the words that Jesus spoke. But tonight, we might not be able to understand right now as Jesus revealed to Peter, but thou shalt know hereafter. You might not understand why you're going through what you're going through right now. You might not understand the trial. You might not understand what's happening to us as a nation. But there is a reason. God has a purpose. And thou shalt know hereafter. For too long, we'll understand everything. Just what God had in mind when he allowed, and when he caused, and he worked a trial in our lives. I trust that we can learn what Peter learned. Maybe not without having to go through some of the things that Peter went through. But there is a reason God has a plan and a purpose for all things. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you once again, we thank you for the life of the Apostle Peter. We thank you for preserving it in the Bible for us to read and study and even preach, to learn the very same lessons that the disciples learned, to be able to accomplish the things that you had for them to accomplish. Help us likewise to be able to learn everything that you have for us to learn, so that we might likewise be able to accomplish all that you have for us to accomplish. In Jesus' name we pray.